Hello there, welcome to the Draft Talk podcast, your one-stop shop for all your NFL draft needs. And we are flying towards this year's draft, around about a fortnight until it kicks off, which is absolutely crazy. So best get rolling here, better continue with our top five series. I'm your host, Brian, and here they are, our franchise signal callers. It's Owen and Stu. How are you doing, guys?
Yeah, all good. We've gone a little bit early with a week early with the quarterbacks this time. I don't think much is going to change, and it's good to get them ticked off. It's an interesting class, I think, is the bit how I will phrase it for now.
Yeah, we might talk about our feelings about the class later on, I suspect. There's been a lot of talk about this quarterback class, however, and I think that's why
there's
we're just
a lot of
keen
talk
to get
about every quarterback class.
Yeah, there is. That's true, but this one feels like the, there's trades in position, ready to spring for quarterbacks, and who's going to trade up, and who's going to, there's already things in motion. There's a lot of chat about it, and I'm not sure how I feel about that just yet.
Well, we shall find out very, very soon. Yep, the two guys have—they've done all the scouting. They've checked out the tape. They're going to tell us everything we need to know about the top five and a few more of this year's quarterback class. Who's a Trevor Lawrence? Who's a Trey Lance? Who do we like? Who do we love? I had to do it. Stu, kick us off. We'll come to you first. Who's your number five quarterback this year, please?
Yeah, the back end of this five, I found quite difficult to piece together what my thoughts were on this, but I've gone to number five for Jonathan James, JJ McCarthy. He's a quarterback from Michigan, who we saw obviously win the national championship, and who seems to have come from nowhere to being the talk of the town a little bit, hasn't he? We've heard lots and lots about JJ McCarthy post-combine, post-head coaches meeting, all these kind of things. For me, I think he's a little bit of an enigma. He has, kind of splash plays that you see that these quarterbacks you're taking early make, but I think there's a little bit of more to study into JJ McCarthy. I found him a difficult evaluation, if I'm honest, because Michigan were a really smash mouth, in your face type of team that they ran the ball a lot. He wasn't asked to do loads and win games on his own. And I don't know if that means he can't or he wasn't asked to do so. And I find that quite difficult. I think he's someone who is a fairly poised in the pocket, but not an exceptionally wonderful pocket passer. He doesn't really play out of structure, but he's fairly consistent when making kind of positive plays in the game. He's a fairly confident guy. He seems to study what's going on well in the field. He plays with a bit of intensity. He does play in a pro style offense. He does work under center reasonably often. He can slide and maneuver around the pocket, but I don't think he's wonderfully quick at doing so. I don't see amazing pocket manipulation and pocket footwork. He does kind of roll out well when play action and delivers the ball reasonably smoothly. I think he's efficient when he's playing out of structure rather than creative. He's tough as hell. He'll take a hit and he'll take extra yards as a runner. But I think his arm strength, I think, is probably modest. I don't think he's got the biggest arm in the world, and he's got a really kind of bendy wind up to his throwing mechanism. I think that till he gets the delivery point is a bit of a long delivery. I think that he's got a really high completion percentage, but I don't think his ball placement is fantastic. He needs to have a little bit more air under his deep balls, I think. His timing did get better as things went on. I find JJ McCarthy altogether a little bit average. I don't think he has anything that I could say, wow, he is an amazing runner. He's got a huge arm. He's got accuracy. he's got a little bit of things there, but for me, it just kind of altogether came as a little bit of an average package. And I would be stunned if teams are taking him at number two, put it that way.
Yeah. I would go as far as saying that JJ McCarthy is as difficult a quarterback evaluation that I've had since we started scouting prospects, because this isn't just scouting, it takes projection to a whole different level. Because to start with, you have to, because of the offense that they run at Michigan, which is just running downs after running downs, you then have to think, well, could he have had success at maybe a different college? And then you kind of then have to take that and then apply it to the NFL level, but you can only take what you've seen. So it's there's so much more that you want to see that JJ McCarthy hasn't offered yet, and it's then guessing, could he be able to offer it at some point? I've maybe bowed to peer pressure a little bit, I'll be honest, because I struggled, but I've got him at number four. But I quite easily could have had him at number six, because I did toy about with it an awful lot, not over today, but over the last few weeks and few months. The reason why I've got him at number four is because if he goes to the right scheme, I can see how he can have success. Because he operates with comfort and with poise within the scheme that he's given at Michigan. His mechanics are mostly on point. He's got good rotation, body control, posture to generate power. Throws with velocity and power at times. Has the arm strength and capabilities to throw from different angles, to his detriment at times as well, it has to be said. And he does have the accuracy in intermediate short routes to layer the ball into tight windows. And I think he throws with control and throws with anticipation in the short intermediate. It's where it gets deep that I have more problems. I think he's a good enough athlete, both as a passer and as a rusher. I think he can create when the play breaks down when he needs to. Flexible body control, not only as a thrower, but to escape pressure as well. Instinctual feel for pressure, and mostly he's a good decision maker. The problem comes with, does he deliver on those decisions, which I don't think he does consistently enough. He's a natural leader. Teammates and coaches absolutely love him, and he steps up in big moments, which counts as well. But I think that he will need an offense to be schemed around him, and I think he can be successful, and I think he has a high ceiling and he has a high upside if he is put in the exact right situation, because he needs consistent and repetitive schemes, not only of the team, but also with his reads as well. Because when a look is open and he doesn't, you know, it's maybe a design he doesn't throw very often, and there's one specifically where, or a route specifically, which you saw him miss a couple of times, where it's an outbreaking route, maybe 20, 30 yards downfield, which you have to make in the NFL because your receiver's wide open. He just completely wildly overthrows. And it's because he just doesn't throw that very often, because that throw maybe comes around once every two or three games. But you need to be able to make those plays in the NFL, and he just didn't do that at Michigan. He misses far too many throws that you'd be expected to make at the NFL level, which he needs to fix. I think his offense needs to play with precise timing as well. His timing needs to be on point. And I'm not sure I rely on him to dictate the timing. I think the timing needs to be dictated to him by his receivers. And when the receiver maybe breaks in the route a little bit too late, he looks expecting the route to have broken, and it hasn't. His footwork gets messy and it causes his accuracy to dip. And he forces far too many throws. He's probably skinny as well. And we say probably because he was 6'2", 219 at the combine. But there is absolutely no chance he played at that. Like 0% chance. He probably played closer to 190. That he was just, there's a reason he didn't test at the combines, because he was carrying so much water weight. But yeah, you were on about the completion percentage before, Stu. It's because there's so many layups for him on tape that that you just can't really even assess. But you, the model consistency, I'll read this to you, right? So in 2022, he threw for 2,719 yards, 22 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on 322 attempts. In 2023, he threw for 291 yards, so a difference of 200, 22 touchdowns, so exactly the same, 4 interceptions, so down 1, on 332 attempts, so he attempted 10 more passes. So you talk about consistency in that offense, that's exactly what it was. His completion percentage was up slightly in 2022, and his rushing yards were slightly down. But I think J.G. McCarthy is difficult to place, and he's at number 4 only if he goes to the right scheme. Because I think, and basically, if he goes to the Vikings, I can see how this works out. If he goes to anyone else, I don't get it.
He just doesn't excite me. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And then quarterbacks, and we've both been guilty of falling for players that he excite you, and he just doesn't. I think that, you know, if you're thinking about picking a guy, and if the Vikings do it, giving up a lot of draft capital to pick a guy, you've got to be really sure what you're doing. As we've seen it blow up in teams' faces anymore, and if I was, I'm just not sure I would give up that much for someone who is such a projection, because we just don't know what he's capable of. I mean, you could put him in a college offense where he was throwing the ball 50 times a game and spreading it out and looking spectacular, and he might have been able to do that, but we don't know. And that's where I have that he is though.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's not only projection; it's the trust comes into this as well. Like, do the Vikings trust that he can do what he did for Michigan in Minnesota? And I can see how that would work, but I'm not sure I trust 2 first round picks with it, which I suppose really, when you think about it, it's not 2 first rounders, it's 1, isn't it? Because you're giving up the 1 you already had, so you just move it. So when you say, well, you're not trading 2, it's semantics, but you're not really trading 2 first round picks, you're trading 1, because you're moving up from 1. But yeah, it's J.G. McCarthy's tough, man.
Yeah, and that's why I had him as 5, because I found him really tough to know what to do with him.
Well, there we go. It might get easier. We'll see.
No.
It doesn't. Okay. Oh well. we tried.
It'll be a long night.
Well, let's move on. We've had Stu's number 5. Owen, who have you got there?
Yeah, again, very, very tough. At 5, I've got Michael Penix Jr. from Washington. I did toy with it because I actually rank him and Bo Nix quite similarly in terms of talent. But I think Penix has a higher ceiling than Bo Nix, which is what has made me go for him. In terms of, go through what he does first. So he's an extremely powerful thrower. He absolutely fires. He's got an absolute cannon. It's NFL worthy, the arm. Strong, tight throw in motion, which he deploys consistently, which allows him to throw with timing and accuracy. Go through progressions intelligently as well. Really like that. Throws with great anticipation. Leaves receivers open. He is able to dictate with timing, and he's in tune with his receivers as well, which, you know, he's got a good receiving core there. But he had a natural understanding with those guys. Really good decision making as well, makes the right throws at the right time and knows when to take his chances. So there is an element of risk taking when you throw the ball in the NFL, but I think he's got the right mix of being able to take what he's given, but also take the chances when the time comes. I think he's got really good navigation of the pocket. He can step up, make clean throws, even when he can feel pressure coming around his backside. Leads and reads pre-snap, which comes from the level of experience he's got, right? He's a 6-year starter. And he's able to manipulate safeties with his eyes as well. So I think he does a lot of the intelligent stuff. Do you have him ranked here, Stu, or should I go into weaknesses?
No, I do. I've got him at number 4.
Okay. I was going to say, if you do, then maybe you can speak to some of the strengths before we completely...
For me, Michael Penix is a name that I've written down in my notes for the last couple of years. Yeah. And he just kind of extended his college career. And he's one of these prospects that I just really like, and I'm probably a bit higher on him than I maybe should be, but he's one of these ones you just... There's some prospects you just can't hang up on. And Michael Penix has been a little bit like that. He's someone who... you mentioned about Owen about his ability to move around the pocket. He can feel pressure creeping up pre and post snap, and he really does well to protect himself. He's been sacked just 31 times in just over 1,750 dropbacks in his college career. So he knows how to look after himself despite his injuries, which is probably something we're going to come on to. Yeah. He absolutely drives the ball with velocity when he's throwing it. But he can also just a flick of the wrist and he can be 50 yards downfield. He's got a huge arm. He's absolutely fearless. He will throw to the perimeter, which a lot of guys want to operate in the middle of the field. Penix has no fear of going to the perimeter whatsoever, and he can drop it in between that corner and safety. I think that he has a natural understanding of where pressure is, where leverage is, and how to lead his receivers into good positions. I think that if you want to have Michael Penix, it's just, can he thrive outside of that offense? You know, he had a wonderful offense at Washington. Seattle have got a couple of people in place that have worked with them before. Do we make that connection here? It's quite early for Michael Penix. I do believe that. He's a really good passer of a football. He is maybe not the most athletic outside the pocket, but he has got good athleticism. He maybe just hasn't used it as much as we maybe like him to be. You mentioned about him and Bo Nix. They are in that kind of next tier of quarterbacks, aren't they? And for me, Penix just had a bit more, I think he's a bit more ability to operate out in a different scheme. I think Bo Nix was very... I thought he had a great season. I think he was a great couple of seasons, to be fair, at Oregon. I think he was quite scheme dependent, whereas I think that there might be a little bit more flexibility to Penix. And I think with him, there's a bit more of knowing what you're getting than there is with JJ McCarthy. You know, teams will know what he can and can't do well. So for me, he was quarterback number four. There is weaknesses, however, there. There is a bit to go through, as you've kind of hinted at.
Yeah, we'll come on to Bo Nix once his report comes round. But yeah, for me, in terms of weaknesses, I didn't want to go straight into the weaknesses there because I wanted to give you a chance to, you know, I don't want to let all the weaknesses, but then you jump in. But I think that even though he throws with power, his throws can fade a little bit. Mostly to the left, but I noticed especially when throwing deep, that there was a little bit of fade on some of the deeper balls. And I think that's because he prefers to throw with power and velocity rather than with touch, which is a skill in itself. And I think his passes sometimes have too much loop on them, which maybe comes into it as well. I try to think what the right word is, but maybe that's just a layman's term, just a little bit of loop. Which means he has to lean into some of his throws to generate that power. And it means the velocity can maybe be a little bit inconsistent at times, as well as the touch because of the throwing motion. You know, he just throws from some really strange angles at times. And I think that where it comes from the pocket movement, that he does have a good feel for pressure. I think it could be better. And I think he gets away with it by getting the ball out quickly a lot. But when he does that, they are sometimes from some really strange angles, which I don't think NFL teams will be impressed by, because it's all you got away with that one kind of throws on his tape. I would like to see him work the middle of the field a little bit more. I think he, and it goes for a lot of quarterbacks. It almost feels like some quarterbacks are, I don't want to use the word scared, but maybe are a little bit wary of throwing the ball inside just because of they can be high risk throwing in traffic at times, and it takes a special kind of quarterback to be able to do that consistently. But yeah, he definitely preferred to throw to the outside when there was things open through the middle. In the playoffs against Texas, none of those weaknesses showed. He was excellent, and everything that was I thought was a problem on tape, he answered. It just, we didn't answer it consistently. Now he showed it, so he clearly can do it. Just does an NFL team feel like they can get him to do it consistently? The problems come down to injuries. They're impossible to ignore. We think he's probably going to be okay because he's got two clear years, but torn ACL as a freshman, broken clavicle in his second year, torn ACL again in 2020, and then suffered a season-ending shoulder injury in 2021. So they're the question marks. But if they're clean, it's a good prospect.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about his kind of fluttering a bit in the breeze. Is it kind of, you know, yeah. it seems to absolutely rocket off his hand, and then I don't know, I'm no expert on it, but is it the rotation isn't quite right, and then there's this drag where it's dipping. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And sometimes that does force his receiver to kind of break stride a little bit. You know, they're seeing this ball coming, rocketing off his hands, and then, this is kind of...
That's it. Receivers were good enough to correct.
Yeah.
Some of the bad...
And a lot of his throws did look amazing because he had really good jump ball receivers on the outside. Yeah. You know, you've got three receivers on that team who I think are going to be easily drafted maximum of round four, all three of those guys are going to be gone. I think probably earlier than that, even. You know, so he did have a really good receiving core, but there is things to like there, and in a class that I'm not sure I like loads. Michael Penix has some things that I do like.
Good stuff. All right. Oh, and your number three, please.
Okay, so three is Jaden Daniels from LSU. Reluctantly, I might add, because I'm not enamored with Jaden Daniels' game. I must admit, I don't see the top three pick that he probably will be. I'll go into why shortly, but I'll tell you what he does well first and why he is so well regarded. His game is entirely built on athleticism, is built on vision, and it's built on football IQ. Now, all those three things are great on their own. So, elite athlete, speed, explosive, short area movements, his agility is absolutely, it's elite. Shows physicality and toughness in the pocket, and as a rusher, dangerous as a rusher, just incredible creation capacity with the ball in his hands, and he has to be accounted for on every play. Unbelievable creation capacity when the play breaks down. He's got the arm talent to drop the ball in buckets going deep. Sharp, compact throw in release and motion, quick processor, and mostly a really good decision maker, able to read the full field as well. With LSU, they didn't have to give him like half field reads or one read options or anything like that. He was able to scan the whole field quickly, able to diagnose pre-snap as well. Had that intelligence to do that. And I think he's got the eyes to manipulate safeties going through his reads. I would have liked some more anticipation, but I saw it when he's attacking the middle of the field, which doesn't go for everyone in this class. And I think he's got a really good understanding of natural leverage when his receivers are creating in-breaking routes. So just on the turn, he knows where the leverage is going. He understands where that leverage is to anticipate. And he also anticipates the pressure well as well. He is really skinny though. That is a problem. He's always listed at 6'4", 210 pounds. He has been for like the last 3 years. And then at his combine was exactly that. And no one's ever bob on. So I'm just not having it really. And we've got no real athletic testing either. We will go into some of the weaknesses, but we'll do what we basically did last time. I presume you have him here at some point, Stu.
Yeah, same spot.
Yeah.
I like Jaden Daniels. I don't love Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
I think he does have a good command of the field, and he understands how to play the position. The benefits of being 5 years of starting will do that for a prospect, absolutely. He does run a lot, and I do have a bit concerns about his durability. you know, particularly if he is slender, you've got to catch him first, right enough. But if he's going to be, he's not the same kind of runner of Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson doesn't take hits. He just, you know, yeah. I think people have made that, oh, he's the next Lamar Jackson. No, Jaden Daniels will take a battering. You know, Lamar Jackson, you just can't touch him because he's so slippery. But I wonder at that
different.
Frame.
Yeah, it's completely different.
That frame, whether he's gonna, you know, the players don't get smaller and slower at the NFL level. you know, so but he's someone who, yeah, as you say, he does read the field reasonably well. He, you know, he moves through his progressions. He can attack from the pocket. He doesn't solely rely on just getting out and running around and causing chaos. He can anticipate pretty well. He's got a bit of that. He's got nowhere near the velocity of Penix, but he does have some of that. His those tend to fade a little bit, you know, on some of that yeah. passing. I found that when he scrambled, he wasn't nearly as good as when he was actually on a planned rollout, you know, getting on the move and throwing. And he does sometimes use that excuse, I think it's not the right word, of being really athletic to scan a way out of a pocket very quickly. You know, he's like, right, okay, how can I get out of this pocket rather than wanting to stay in? Where I think he'd be sometimes better placed to do so because he will have a pass on. I just don't think he has enough zip when he's throwing out with the numbers as well. For me, as I said before, and this is coming back to it, I like Jaden Daniels. I'm not in love with Jaden Daniels. And some teams are, though, I think, you know, they're going to see that running ability and bite on that. But I'm a little bit hesitant again.
Yeah, I think we see the weaknesses or the areas for improvement pretty spot on. I'll maybe just add into some of what you said there to give some context or just add what I can. He's more of a creator as a runner than a passer. I think a lot of what he does as a passer comes to him. And I think he drops his eyes to assess his rushing options too quickly, which I know you touched on there, but I'm maybe just giving some extra thoughts here. He benefited completely from having wide receivers who were constantly wide open. And the question is then, does he have the ability to elevate an offense? Or do those receivers have the ability to elevate an offense? Now, it can be both, and they can definitely complement each other. But whether he goes to the Commanders or whether he goes to the Patriots, because we're assuming he's going to go top three, they don't have those guys. And so where you then have to project where he can succeed, right? His placement on deep balls can definitely be better. He throws with touch, but not necessarily with anticipation going deep. Lets his receivers adjust during their routes and during the catch rather than the other way around. Arm strength is good enough, but he's definitely not a driver of the football. It's not high velocity, high power, layer into tight windows type of thrower. He's prefers to be like a layup receiver that throws with touch at all levels. And maybe there is a bit of lack of velocity and power with some of his throws that do fade. And then as a rusher, he's completely reckless. He's a reckless athlete as a runner. He simply, you can't be willing to take those hits at the next level. And then I watched them. You go back and you get a feel for it, but try and watch it a little bit more closely. I think, why is he even taking these hits? Is it because he didn't see the person? And I think it does come down to that sometimes where he's assessed it and he just hasn't read it right. Because I think he shows great vision as a runner to find the spots. But I think there's definitely a lack of situational awareness at times, which is where he gets caught out with some absolutely massive hits where he maybe loses track of defenders who come down an absolutely clobbering one. And, you know, you will not get away with that. You won't last very long taking hits like that at the NFL level. Look, he probably knows that. All NFL teams know that too. You can rein that in, right? You can rein that in. You can tell him to stop doing it. But if you do tell him to stop doing it, what do you then have? And I think he is the type of player who certainly all players benefit from a good offense, right? That sounds silly to say, but I think he's the type of player that you would slot into a good offense rather than a player that you would maybe build around.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think if you have you've got to have a plan for Jaden Daniels, I think. If, you know, you're not just going to be, yeah, we're going to draft a good quarterback. Oh, he's next on the list. Right, let's draft Jaden Daniels. I think if you do that, you're setting yourself up for a fail. If you're going to draft Jaden Daniels and have him as your guy, you've got to have a plan what you're going to do with that almost before you even draft him. You've got to have the right coaching staff, the right offensive line, the right wide receiver mix, and understand how he's going to operate within that system. I think it would be reckless just to pick him because he's the first available quarterback and you've not really put much thought into it.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it goes for all quarterbacks, but if a team loves Jaden Daniels, then take him by all means. But if you're a team who just likes Jaden Daniels and feels like they need a quarterback, then he's not that type of quarterback for you, because if you're not attached to him in the way that you maybe are with a quarterback that you love, you're going to get this guy killed because you're just going to let him do what he's always been doing, and that just isn't going to work, because you can't run like that, and you're going to have to work on the scheme with deeper balls as well. So I think if a team loves him, I can see how this works out, but if a team doesn't love him and just picks a quarterback because they need a quarterback, then that's just not going to work, because he isn't that type of player. He isn't going to be able to elevate every single offense in the NFL. There's just going to be certain teams that he suits. And if his style doesn't suit your team's style, then this fails miserably.
Teams picking quarterbacks just because they need a quarterback. I wonder if that'll happen early in the draft. Right, that's the number three quarterback. I won't ruin it. You've got the same two on number two and one. Alan, I'll come to you. Who's our number two quarterback for this year's draft class?
Yeah, it's Drake May. But again, I'll say this by, I like Drake May. But I think that there are certainly more weaknesses than some people make out at times. He is just scratching the surface of his potential. I would say there's a lot more for Drake May that can still be exposed that just wasn't at college, and I can see how an NFL team is going to be able to do that, which is why he's ranked above others. Hits all the size measurables, 6'4", 223, exceptional mechanics, has a tight release, natural feel for timing and rhythm. Super consistent with those mechanics as well, and they continue out of the pocket. There are some reckless throws out of the pocket, which we'll come to. Fiery, tight release. He's able to generate velocity with his throws. Just when everything is clean and he can put the ball exactly in the right place, this works. He shows intelligent, ingrained field vision, which allows him to be creative as a thrower. Throws with unbelievable anticipation to lead receivers open, which will allow them to get yards after the catch. When everything's kept clean, and I'll keep saying that, because when everything's clean, you're like, yeah, this is a high pick, but it's not always clean for him. And that's where I think that some of the deficiencies come in. But he's got all the arm strength that's needed. He can throw with different speeds, different angles, different velocities. He's got great touch. Everything that you need to see from an NFL arm, I've seen with Drake May. And I have no questions that he's able to do all those things at the NFL level, because it's decisive. It can be accurate when things are clean. He's nimble as an athlete as well, although I don't love his rushing ability, but I think he can be more than enough in that area. He doesn't necessarily force extra yardage as a runner as well, which isn't what we just spoke about with Jaden Daniels before, that he knows when to get out of bounds. And he can be creative when the play breaks down. He's got the traits at the moment. I'm not sure we have seen this is a number one overall pick worthy prospect on tape, but I've seen bits of tape when all pieced together make me think that this can be a really good NFL quarterback. Now, he's been let down by scheme at North Carolina, as many quarterbacks before him have. We're trying not to helmet scout. North Carolina quarterbacks have rarely worked in the NFL, but that doesn't mean that it won't for Drake May. They'll take that out of it completely. It's a silly way to evaluate things, because we said that with Ohio State, and then CJ Stroud goes and does what he does. So you can't helmet scout in that way, but it's not the helmet, it's the scheme, and the fact he had absolutely no one around him. Like, he was better in 2022 than he was in 2023, because he had better playmakers in 2022, Josh Downs and the like, but there wasn't anyone in 2023. Now, if you listen or watching this, most people won't be able to name another player on the Tar Heels offense in 2023, because it was a really difficult offense to watch, and I imagine that means it was a really difficult offense to play in. So we've got to give him some credit. He was his production dropped, but between everything, I think I've seen enough. But there are certainly some elements of his game which give me pause for thought. But I can see why an NFL team will like him.
Drake May is also number two for me, as Brian alluded to. I think of all the guys, he has the biggest gap between his floor and his ceiling that I've evaluated. It can be really wide. Oh, you kind of touched on it. If you were to package up Drake May into a YouTube highlights reel, people watch that, and people do that when they're, you know, they're not so into the draft. They go, let's go on YouTube, find some of this guy my team's going to draft, and watch Drake May. They'll be going, yes, we have scored if we draft Drake May, because some of his plays are unbelievable, because he is absolutely fearless. He will just launch the ball into some unbelievably tight windows and make wonderful splash plays. But that's why he's got 16 interceptions, and most of them were down to being daft decisions of just, yeah, gung-ho. I think that it's difficult to say that he tried to play hero ball, because he almost had to. He was the offense. He really didn't have some other options at times. So I think it is a bit hard to evaluate, particularly his 2023 season. He's got unquestionable arm talent. He's got the right size, makeup. He looks like an NFL quarterback. He sometimes... Yeah, it's, as I say, it's difficult to kind of, but he's got an inconsistent kind of throw in motion, which I think makes him inconsistent with his accuracy. I think if he was to clean up that and become more consistent with his motion, that would definitely help. He moves well in the pocket, but I don't think he's wonderfully great outside the pocket. He's not the best free runner you'll ever see in the world. He can throw off platforms, but I think there's a lot kind of left on there that. I think he possibly has the talent to be a better runner than he has shown.
He's measured as a runner, which I kind of like. You know, I think,
yeah.
I don't think he's the best athlete, but knowing when, and you know, situational awareness to get out of bounds or get down and slide, which others don't in this class. I think he is better than he's maybe given credit for. But it's not great, but it doesn't need to be.
No, I know it's we've seen worse. Put it that way.
Yeah,
but he's also a bit less experienced than some of the guys that are below him as well. So there is that to it as well. He's only been a 2 year starter. When you look at like some of the other guys that are coming up behind him, they have played a lot more football. So he is a bit more. I think he's a bit more malleable than some of these other guys that if you get the right system with him, and maybe he's somebody who might benefit from not being out there on day one. Teams will all put him out on day one because that's what they do. It doesn't work all the time. Stop doing it. I'm not an expert, but even I know that. I think that there's loads to like about Drake May. There's loads of potential, and I think if you want Drake May to be your quarterback, you're buying into that potential and what you can make out of him. But he has a bit more about him than the guys that have come behind him for me. I think that there's more to like there and more to come. And yeah, for me, he's number two. But I'm still, even at a number two, got question marks.
Yeah, absolutely apprehensive. I've seen that you can package together highlights that make him look unbelievable. I can also, you've got two or three plays a game where you think, wow, this is the guy. Unbelievable. That's perfect. But there's also two or three plays a game where you just think, what the hell are you doing?
I was guilty of that. Our very early evaluation of Drake May, I was like, oh, this is the boy. He's an absolute kiddie. Start watching some of him and then, okay, just it's a slam that brakes on a little bit.
There's certainly high variance on tape. And a lot of throws you just think you just have to make, especially short ones. And when he's throwing out on the run and he then maybe is throwing across his body or he's having to open up completely, he's missing 5-yard passes. And you just think all of a sudden he's either the best or he's the worst. You know what I mean? He needs to improve his consistency, the consistency of his accuracy, anticipation, and his footwork. What he does show is excellent. There just needs to be more of it, and it needs to become more consistent, because you can't throw or underthrow or miss open receivers within 5 yards. And his accuracy is wildly up and down at times. And the variety of misses in some games where he shows extreme inconsistencies is ridiculous, really. His accuracy on the run and his accuracy under pressure dips more than it maybe should, and that will need to improve at the NFL because the pressure to success rate, that won't work at the NFL. That needs to come better. But when you have better receivers, that will be better as well. And I think he makes some throws far more difficult than they needed to be with some sloppy footwork. And he does it all the time, but sometimes he crosses his legs over each other. Instead of having a wide base, his one foot goes in front of the other. And that means he has to reset, and then the timing's off again. And you've wasted that motion, you've wasted that time, and that window just closes, and that window is already short in the NFL. The decision-making can be sporadic as well. But sporadic means that it's been really good as well. So he's shown that he can do it. And as we were saying with some of the other guys before, if you've shown that you can do it, it means that you can do it. We just need to see more of it. And then it's up to an NFL team to unlock it. But if an NFL team can unlock it, Drake May is going to be a very, very good quarterback. But he's not there yet.
And I'm no way saying that he's going to be that kind of player at all, because it's lofty comparisons. But it has a bit of a feel about what Justin Herbert was like, in that teams didn't have that he's going to be a superstar kind of guy, but they managed to unlock it with him because he played a totally different style of football at Oregon, and he wasn't asked to do all the stuff that he's done. That's not me saying Drake May is Justin Herbert, it's totally wrong, but that kind of similarity of the kind of situation wasn't the best at college, but they've got loads of untapped potential. Let's actually use what they're really good at. That's kind of what comes to my mind with Drake May.
Josh Allen as well is another one who's in that mold, where the completion percentage isn't great. You know, it's the 2023, it was 63%, 2022, it was 66%. It's one of those where he's flashed everything. Can you put it together? And if you've got a consistent coaching staff that you trust to be able to mold Drake May in the right way, it absolutely pays off. But I think he, again, it goes with all guys, doesn't it? I guess, but you can see where if he goes to a team where they've just got consistency within management and within coaching, and you can give them time that we're going to give him an offensive coordinator that's going to be sacked within a year, then it's just not going to work. But that rarely works for any quarterback doing that. But if you can give him consistency that will allow him to be more consistent, then he has the tools and the play. There's not a lot more to add there, but yeah, he's a really good prospect. Is the best way, I suppose, of summing this up. He's a really good prospect who can develop into a really good player.
Very good, very good. Interesting. Josh Allen, Herbert, not bad players to be compared to, but but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, they're always good players when you do it right. You don't get. I can find you some hard ones if you want, but that's what you could do.
No, sounds good. Okay, which means you've got one left. It won't be a shock to anyone. Go on, Owen. Who we got as our combined number one?
But don't start me on Caleb Williams. So I've got about three pages of A4 of notes on Caleb Williams that I could just rattle off to you. I absolutely love Caleb Williams. It's difficult to say. I told you so, wasn't it? When's prospect so good, but he's been spoken about for so long, and even his first game at Oklahoma, you thought, yeah, this kid has it. He's a five-star prospect from Washington. And as soon as he came in and he enrolled early, he was sat behind Spencer Rattler, and everyone thought Spencer Rattler was going to be the number one pick in whatever draft that was. He gets benched a couple of games in for Caleb Williams, and you just think, yeah, this guy is going to go number one overall at some point, because he's absolutely, absolutely unbelievable. Heisman Trophy winner in 2023, won all the accolades that you can imagine, even ones you've probably never heard of. He just wins everything. The first note that I have that I think I've said on every time we've spoken about Caleb Williams, I think he's as close to the perfect modern NFL prospect as you will find. And I use prospect rather than player because we're evaluating prospects, right? And prospects, all of them have deficiencies. Caleb Williams has them too. But I think it's difficult to expect a college prospect to have a better resume than Caleb Williams does, is how I would put it. I think he's NFL ready now. I think he's one of the best prospects that I've evaluated since doing this. I think he's one of the best prospects of the last decade. And I think he's probably the best quarterback that I've ever scouted. He's definitely close to Trevor Lawrence at this point. And there was maybe a bit of recency bias, but I probably would have him in front of Trevor Lawrence because I think he really is that good. I think he's absolutely undefendable at times. If you can play off him and don't pressure him, he'll just tear you apart that way. But if you pressure him, he also has the ability and the timing and the accuracy to throw open receivers, and he'll beat you that way too. I just think that he can beat you in so many different ways. He can change up the tempo. He controls an offense. He can mix up the playing style as well. He's going to go to Chicago, and what an opportunity that is for him, because not many players are going to have the playmakers going number one overall that Caleb Williams does. So he's got a real opportunity to hit the ground running. Hopefully the offensive line can stay consistent for him. But look, the offensive line at USC was pretty dreadful, and he was the best player in college football for God knows how long. He's master manipulator at taking short and intermediate routes. Plays with controlled creation. That he's not relentless. He is relentless. He's not. Trying to think of the right word because it came to mind and then slipped, but he's not reckless. There we go. It began with R. He's not reckless in his playmaking. That we know what he can do out of the pocket. We've all seen the highlight plays, but it's not, he doesn't do it for the sake of it. It's in a controlled manner. It's proactive. Can do that and create inside and outside of the pocket, but he doesn't have to bail out of the pocket to succeed, which a lot of people with his play style do. I think he can beat you inside the pocket and from outside the pocket, can go through his progressions quickly, can play with patience. He doesn't necessarily have to force it either. Lethal arm, can throw the ball from any angle, can reach any part of the field, can throw basically any pitch in the book and throw with power, velocity, angles, anything that's needed, an absolute slingshot for an arm. And he can thread the needle as well into any window. Insane completion percentage as well, really, when you consider how accurate he is. But it's just he's not really had much around him at USC, you have to say, and he still has been this good. His legs are his greatest weapon, and I don't mean that just as a runner. I also mean that in the pocket, because his footwork is absolutely fantastic to understand spacing and to set his base. Allows him to throw on time and in rhythm and consistently throw the ball, and the the same mechanics every time, and his awareness and speed along with his active footwork means that he can then go out and escape and roll out and do all that stuff that you've all seen the highlights for, because no one's watching this not knowing who Caleb Williams is. There's a lot there. His weaknesses for me are extremely limited. We'll maybe touch on them once Stu's had his go of praising Caleb Williams. But yeah, I could go on for ages, because I think on every play you can find something that he does well.
Yeah, he's also number one for me. I think that's fairly obvious since we've got to this point. And if I didn't have it at number one, Owen might have thrown me off the podcast and never let me back.
I'll just
on
be
again.
Doing it on my own.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ryan Poole's a bit of a genius, isn't he? He can pass up on Bryce Young. He's landed himself the spot
how,
of...
How jammy is that?
Yeah. Do you know what? Fair play to him, because he could have taken a quarterback in that draft, because he didn't draft Justin Fields, but he had a bit of a gamble and he's landed up pretty lucky. And if he doesn't pick Caleb Williams, pints are on me for day two of the draft. Okay. I think the only thing that can stop Caleb Williams from becoming a real top quarterback in the NFL is Caleb Williams himself. If he can stay, he's had to, I think, at times be at USC, being the man and play with all sorts of, playmaking ability, hero ball, whatever you want to call it. He's had to do that. I don't buy into it that he's this Billy Big Balls that people have said that he is. Yeah. I don't buy into it at all.
No.
I think that there's a lot of hype there, but if there's a slight chance that he is, that I think that will be the only thing that's going to stop him becoming a real top prospect.
I actually think he's quite refined and quiet rather than this.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's extremely confident, but he's not out here. You know, how many times have we seen it with quarterback? I'm the top guy. I'm this. I'm that. He's kept his mouth shut
very much
throughout. It's everyone else has done the talking, not Caleb Williams. I think that he's quite clearly a family man. I think he just goes about his business, not really caring what anyone else thinks.
Yeah,
he's going to be himself, absolutely. And good on him for doing so.
Yeah, and as I say, I think that's the only thing. If there is anything to it, and I don't think that there is, that's the only thing that's going to stop him, bar an injury. If he decides to go and do something wildly off the planet or something, you know, that we haven't seen from him at all. Otherwise, I can't see him not being successful. You know, if he's going to Chicago, which he is, it's a good situation there now. You know, we used to think a couple of years ago.
Number one.
Oh yeah, he's got DJ Moore. He had a really good season last year. Keenan Allen, how long's he got left in the tank? I don't know, but he ain't a bad guy to be throwing the ball to, you know. And Caleb Williams has all the talent in the world that you could want coming into the NFL. There was a time when I was looking at them very early, and you were seeing that splash play from Drake May. Okay, Drake. Once you get into it, there's actually no competition there at all for me. I think he's so far ahead of all the other quarterbacks in this draft. Weaknesses. We're going to talk on that. There isn't a huge amount to be there. He sometimes doesn't always want to play on schedule, but. Yeah. Again, is that because of the situation he found him in? I think he's got more than enough talent to play on schedule. I don't think it's because he can't do it. He sometimes might need to at the NFL just, Joe, do you know what? I'm going to take 3 yards here and get another set of downs rather than looking for that challenge and throw, which he can make as well. But for me, that's minor details really, isn't it? You know, it's not big flaws to someone's game that's going to be a make or break for him. He's number one. He's going to go number one in the draft, and who knows how far he can go in the NFL.
Yeah. We need to stop, even though I can see there's a way of him being so that when a prospect is considered as good as Caleb Williams is, we've got a tendency to go, he can be a top five quarterback in the NFL. That isn't what success looks like. Look, could he be? Yeah, absolutely. But if he isn't that, that doesn't mean that he wasn't a success just because you think he can be and he hasn't reached exactly what that is. If you get an adequate starter from Caleb Williams, then that is success by the NFL's going. He doesn't have to be a top five quarterback in the NFL in his first year to be a success. So I think there's a little bit of expectations that need to be reined in with Caleb Williams from some people. Every franchise wants a savior, and Caleb Williams definitely has the potential to be, but let's not throw him to the wolves just yet. He can let him build his career. He doesn't have to be, he doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes or bust, basically.
Chicago just needs him to throw for 4,000 yards.
Just
they've never had it. That is a success.
Yeah, absolutely. And in a rookie season as well, it's maybe just a little bit of easing your way into it, figuring though I can imagine it's quite overwhelming for a lot of these college kids. And Caleb Williams has been to massive programs and seems like he has a good team around him. But there's just a little expectation calm in there that needs to be done for me. And then, not every prospect is perfect. None are, in fact. I think he is one of the prospects who could do better over the middle of the field, especially on flat and short concepts where he has to look over the offensive line, because that offensive line he had at USC was absolutely garbage. The one at Chicago will be better, although I think there's maybe additions that they could make there, and wouldn't be surprised if they did actually end up making additions, even though it's been fairly decent. And I think it maybe suggests that he scrambles more than he needs to, because there was a guy open, but he maybe just didn't see them over the offensive line. He's not sure. It's not because of that. I think he just needs to play the middle of the field a little bit better. And for a lot of his career, he's played in front. So you're going to Chicago now, you're going to have to play from behind a lot of the times. You're going to have to play a lot of tight games, a lot of games that, when he's won games, they haven't been close. He's always been the best player on the field, which has allowed him to trust himself. But he is going to hit some diversity in the NFL as in a rookie season that he hasn't hit at any point in his career so far. It'll be interesting to see how he deals with that. They're not weaknesses. That's just maybe thinking out loud, because every rookie is going to have that moment in their rookie season where it feels like the walls are closing in. And then it's how do you react and how do you bounce back from that? Because you're going to be, Caleb Williams is going to be the guy. He's already in Chicago when we're recording about a week before this will go out, but he's in Chicago last night meeting his receivers and out for dinner with him. So there's absolutely no way that they don't pick him, because he's already meeting the team. But apparently they love him, which is always good to see. Whatever you think of Caleb Williams, you can find an excuse around it, right? If you think, he didn't do that right, well, I can find an excuse for it. Whereas with some others in this quarterback class, I don't feel the same need to maybe think, but that didn't happen because of that. Whereas I think Caleb Williams is able to be the guide of an offense, and he can be the focal point, and he just needs everyone else around him to do their jobs and just let him do his thing. But to sum it up, I think Caleb Williams is an unbelievable prospect who has an extremely, extremely bright future, but let's rein in the expectations and then let him figure out his career, and then hopefully he'll realise his potential.
Good stuff. So what are you telling me is Super Bowl or bust?
Well, maybe with Caleb Williams, that's it. It's if you're drafting, you've won five Super Bowls. Life doesn't work that way. He's going to have to figure it out, because these are prospects, not ready-made players.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a belter. Now, we're probably going to get a 1-2-3 quarterback sort of run to start, aren't we? Most likely.
Yeah.
Where do we sort of see...
You don't know, do you? It certainly feels that way, but there's so much crap flying about this time of year. who bloody knows, you know what I mean? It could be that the Patriots have been, well, they're trying not to swear, just throwing rubbish rubbish out there when they're actually just going to take a receiver, because that's what teams do at this time of year. But yeah, it certainly feels like that's what will happen.
Yeah, it feels like that. Will Levis is going number one always in round two. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get that dramatic a drop, but yeah, who knows what's going to happen. It feels like there's a lot of quarterback needy teams, and I think that's what's driving the narrative. You know, you can, the first two teams obviously in the draft, and then you've got New England, you've got what's happening with the Broncos, you've got, could the Giants fancy a fresh start? They've only got Daniel Jones for another year. You've got the Raiders are looking for a quarterback, Minnesota position themselves for a quarterback. You're looking further down, there's some other teams, you know, the Steelers have got a couple of guys in, but they're not long-term solutions, you know, so there is, or they might be, but, you know, they're not positioning themselves to be long-term. So there's a host of teams that you think they could do with a quarterback. I know even the teams like, you know, they're further down, they're not going to draft one, but, you know, Tampa Bay, they paid Baker Mayfield a chunk of money, but is Baker Mayfield going to be a long-term solution? I don't know. You know, there's so many teams, unless you've got a real elite guy, there's always that, we could do a bit better, we could do a bit better, what if this guy becomes the next? So I think there's so much of that in the league. That's what's driving this narrative of, oh, there's going to be four quarterbacks in the top five. There might be, but is that going to be realistic?
Yeah. And I mean, there's the NFL's always been like this, right?
To go around, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think the gap has widened between the elite quarterbacks and the average quarterbacks, that you could maybe previously in the NFL have got by with an average quarterback. Those days feel like they've gone now, with the NFL becoming more pass happy, that unless you've got an elite guy, you're not winning anything. So you've got to go chasing.
You're not going to win a two Super Bowls with an Eli Manning anymore, are you?
Exactly.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, we all were thinking him.
I'll see it.
The perfect example. Well, there we go.
Before you wrap up there, Brian, yeah. Because I feel like we mentioned him before, but I think we need to give Bo Nix his due. So I think we maybe need to touch on him before we go out, because there's a bunch of other guys like Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt, who could be round two people, but round two prospects, sorry. But I'm not sure we love, whereas I think Bo Nix is probably worth discussion. I had him at number six. I assume you did as well, Stu, because they were the guys, right? For me, with Bo Nix, it was close between him and Michael Penix, but it came down to, I don't think Bo Nix has as high a ceiling as others. I feel like what Bo Nix is what you are going to get. A huge jump in his career since he transferred to Oregon. He's been absolutely written off and you know, bounced back and really shone and developed. He is a pure play executor. He's got all the fundamentals, great accuracy, his completion percentage is the best of all these guys, 71.9% in 2022, 77.4% in 2023, and protects the ball as well, which is good. I think he's a leader on the offense, and he's a game manager, and I think there's a place for that in the teams. I think the link to the Broncos is quite clear there, because he's a Sean Payton type of quarterback who's able to manage the offense, do everything really well. He's got high completion percentage. Let him go out there, manage the game, feed the receivers, let them make the plays. I think he's intelligent as well. He's able to instruct and call audibles when needed, and that speaks to the experience that he has. But I just don't think he is the sexiest of players, but I can see how he has the, you know, if he goes to a place where he starts year one, I can see how he is the best rookie in year one, because his floor is so high, because he's extremely consistent with his mechanics. He's able to extend plays when need to. He just does everything on schedule really well. Like I said, I just don't think he has the highest of ceilings. He isn't asked to do an awful lot as well. Just, you know, call the play, do the play. And then like the Shanahan scheme as well, right? Like, you think of what Brock Purdy's been doing. It's, you know, get the ball out of your hands and just execute the play. and I don't need you to do anything else. He's that type of quarterback. And for that reason, he does have a tendency to take the check down. He's not a huge risk taker. But I think he's got really good decision making, and I can see quite clearly how he's a really good NFL player, but I don't see how he's ever an elite NFL player, which is why he didn't make my top five and he sat at six.
Yeah, Bo Nix. Punchline to prospect, I think, is what I would label
nice.
Him as.
Nice.
Yeah,
quote that. Yeah,
one.
It is.
Punchline to prospect. He was someone who was at Auburn. He was ridiculed almost. Well, actually, not almost. He was.
Yeah.
He was a real punching bag, and fair play to the guy, because he has come back when actually I wasn't really happy with what was happening at Auburn. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to reinvent myself, and I'm going to make a real go of this. And he has done, to be fair. You know, we saw how good Oregon were last year. You know, they were a very good team, and they had some good battles with Penix and co. up at Washington as well. So some great games. He's like those, I hate comparisons between soccer and football, but he's like one of those guys. He's a midfield metronome. If you think of a player like a Michael Carrick, who sits in the middle of the park, plays a simple pass, consistent game in, game out. He's a 7 out of 10 guy every week. He's never going to be the headline maker who's rapping in goals from 30 yards, but he's never going to be the guy who costs you a game either. And I feel a little bit about that, like about Bo Nix. He just does everything really well, but nothing elite for me. But we've seen quarterbacks who have got to Super Bowls recently, Brock Purdy, a bit like that. And I think that he's a better prospect than Brock Purdy was coming in. It's not to say he's going to be a better NFL player than Brock Purdy. We're talking about prospects and players. But yeah, and I'm kind of rooting for Bo Nix, given how far off it he was a couple of years ago. Nobody would have even had him in this conversation at all. And to go from where he was to where he is now, I think he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, and it's not even taking pity either, because he has been absolutely exceptional. In 2023, 45 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. So to throw only 3 interceptions on 470 attempts is pretty, pretty good. So you can see where the game management comes into it. 4,500 yards as well in 2023, just an absolutely unbelievable season. And if it wasn't for Michael Penix and Washington, they would have been a playoff team. And that is down to him. Although they had weapons and they had a good offensive line, I think if an NFL team has that and you can slot him in, then he will be productive for you. I have no doubt that he will be productive for you. I just don't think he will ever be a top five NFL quarterback. And when in a team like we just spoke about, in a league where we just spoke about before, you have to take chances. It doesn't feel like you're taking a chance with Bo Nix. He is safe as houses as it comes to as a prospect, because like this, it just will work if you get him in a Shanahan scheme or you know, Sean Payton at the Broncos. I keep going back to, because I think the fit just makes far too much sense, but you can see how this fundamentally works, but you can't really see how it evolves into something special. But a very, very good prospect at that.
Yeah, I wonder if he, you know, is he somebody that people pass on first time round and then decide, actually, that fifth year option, I can come up a little bit at that back end around one. Might be,
maybe,
but day two is probably, I think, more likely. But if somebody really likes him and thinks, actually, we've not got any other solution here, you know, even if we have Bo Nix for a little bit of time,
you can't risk it. If you don't have a quarterback and you like Bo Nix, you can't risk it. If you're the Broncos, you think, you can't.
We've got Jarrett Stidham. Yeah,
you can't.
You've got Jarrett Stidham, and that's it. They've got under contract.
I think it's very difficult to place where he'll go, actually, because there's a chance he goes at 12. Because
you think
they need, but there's also a chance he goes at 60 odd.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where it is. If he's going to go high, it is going to be the Broncos. I think we'll be the team that would pull that trigger. But 12, it does seem rich. But
they don't have a second round pick, do they?
They've got no second round pick. And they've got nothing at quarterback.
That's what I mean. So if in the mock that I had done, the seven round, I had them trading back with the Eagles and picking him up. But that's just playing out a situation, right? Like, but if you like him, you just can't take the risk. You need draft capital and you need a quarterback. It's really tough to sit, a tough place for the Broncos to be in. I wouldn't like to be a Broncos fan right now. It does not look fun at all.
Broncos, let's ride.
Well, that's done. It must come out with something else.
Let's dealer.
Well,
he'll figure something. Well, let's, he's good at that, isn't he?
I think I saw that actually somewhere. Let's weld.
Yeah, I'm not claiming that one. I stole that.
Oh, good stuff. Very quickly, reminder the lovely listeners/watchers of your top fives, please, gents.
Yeah, so at five, I had Michael Penix, four, JJ McCarthy, three, Jaden Daniels, two, Drake May, and Caleb Williams at the top.
Yeah, not a huge variation, but I had JJ McCarthy at five, Michael Penix at four, and then the same 3-2-1 of Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Caleb Williams.
There we go. There we go. QB's done.
I'm glad it's done. I'm sitting on this one.
We have.
It was a good episode. I think that was a really good episode.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, quarterback's done.
We've done right.
No.
Guys, it's only a really good draft. Let's not fall out about it. Come on. Do you think me and Owen falling out? We've been pretty civilized.
Good job, you.
I'll try better next time for you, Brian.
Excellent episode. Oh, God, I'm so proud of you. But yeah, it really was an excellent episode, wasn't it? Do let us know. Good work, guys. Plenty of stuff there. Couple of good quarterbacks. We'll see quarterbacks. But yeah, it's going to be a hell of an evening. Well, hell of a few evenings come draft weekend in a couple of weeks. We'll be back in the meantime. Keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. And of course, check out any of our previous episodes. We've gone through pretty much all of our top five so far. A couple left. Nearly there. But yep, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you very much for listening.